Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Oh, sure I can have a baby after 45. Let me throw these chicken bones.
I never thought I'd have a blonde American wife. But when I brought you that ranch dressing, I knew I'd be your dipping sauce for life. I booked a dream vacation on a tropical isle. I only wanted to bone. Oh, how could I have known that I'd wind up knocked up and really pissed? Oh, love in paradise, we're planting a banana tree. Love in paradise, have you heard of poly? Forever in your giant dick, love in paradise.
It's the size of my arm. Fade it, Gary. Wonderful, it, wonderful. Gary.
Oh my God, Daniel, if I have to tell you one more time that when I'm going on my serving job at O'Charlie's, if you don't unload the dishwasher by the time I get back and you're going to step on the cats, we have four cats and that is fine. And I swear to God, we're going to go with my friends. We're going to go line dancing. And my friends, Amber, Jessica, all the other names of girlfriends who are sound spacing.
She's back.
She's back. Yo, ranch dressing is back and I'm happy to see her.
I'm so happy to see her.
I honestly have a soft spot for her, and I hated her last season. Remember? I hated her.
You did.
And I developed a soft spot for her.
I mean, I feel sorry for Daniel, but we also have to remember, don't forget last season, y'all, Daniel was a fucking man-child and did nothing.
She
had to do everything. And so we're still like, way more than Guillermo and Kara, who is very much like these two.
I think they were in the beginning. I don't see them as much like that now.
No.
But I think that was my.
So it was just a big, big shit show. So just remember that. Like, if you're watching this season and you're thinking, God, she is so horrible to him. Like, no.
She did have to do everything. He's pretty clueless.
Now, I liked how they showed their season of him, like, ripped and shirtless on the beach, and now he's got a beer gut and he's mowing the lawn in Florida.
He's been eating too much leftover O'Charlie's that she brings home. You know,
that was fucking
edit.
That
loaded potato soup loaded his belly.
He's still hot with it.
He is still hot.
You
can tell he's gained a little bit of weight. You can almost see it in his face, too.
No, you can't see it in his face.
They had O'Charlie's in your hometown, right?
No.
Really?
No. Never.
So you don't even know. You don't remember the roles? Is O'Charlie's even still around?
I don't know.
What did I see in Columbus, Ohio that I went, I had no idea that was still a thing? I think it was a Bennigan's or an O'Charlie's.
We saw several Bob Evans. I didn't know that was still. I think Daniel also gets his eyebrows done.
My landlord's walking around and he screams. He's just such a loud person.
Well, maybe we'll hear him on the show.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, y'all. This is Lip, Love in Paradise,
Season 2,
Episode 3, Reality Bites. Now, We did not get on this. We did not get the scam.
The scam witch. No scam witch so, this time. Abby, no Gabby, Abby, Gabby, and Frankie.
No, but let's just jump into it. Let's talk about Danielle and Johan.
Should we start?
Yeah,
y'all. We just finished our summer. Should be fun. The first leg of the tour, but so we're taking July 4th off, and we'll be back there again on the 8th. And our first show in Dallas, and that's your family show. You've already decided.
It is.
And
they're all coming.
I think VIPs are sold out.
Kiss is coming. My friend Jimmy Don Stewart's coming. Everybody's coming. I want to say this is our first lip that's
your
only on our page.
Was a woman, just to be clear.
Yeah. This okay, is
just making sure.
This is our first on Patreon Supercast.
Patreon only.
Episode only. Ooh. So no commercials in this, y'all.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, I was still saying that on the other one. Yeah. Yeah, they're not getting
what can anything. I say that gives me freedom that would make the whole national wide audience.
We're not doing this right now at all. We're not
you just did it for me. Let's say.
Okay. No, you don't need to say anything because y'all, I am shocked. We had a woman go into explicit detail about the size of her boyfriend's dick and how it, quote, rips her open.
I feel like she's acting like it's a problem, but she's treating it like she's bragging about it.
I wonder if they're going to edit this when this is on TLC.
Oh, they'd have to, I think. Maybe not.
Maybe not. But
she did say it rips me open.
She said it rips me. She's like, it's physically impossible because he tears me apart. And I went, what the fuck is happening on this show between this?
Vaginas are supposed to be very resilient.
Well, I think more resilient than an asshole, but I don't know. I thought so. Lube's your friend. Y'all, when it's a big, super lube. Duper big, and it's a big, super duper big penis, you got to use lube.
Lots of it and lots of it.
Yeah.
Where are we?
I say that super duper because I've told you that story before, right?
What? I'm afraid to ask.
So when my dad was married to his second wife, Brenda, who talked like that and looked like the woman from Something About Mary, I still need to tell the story about when they got divorced and my dad and Aunt Peggy and Darla were spying on her. But anyway, one day, you know how brothers kid each other? Well, my brother and I always forever had just joked about each other's dicks because that's what a lot of brothers do. And so we were in front of Brenda and my dad. And something he said something about, I don't remember. And Brian said something about like joking about me having a small dick. He said, my oldest nephew, Dylan, was learning. He was like 2 at the time. And he was learning about like boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Yeah.
And Brian said to Dylan, he said, well, Uncle Matt. And Dylan looked at me and said, Uncle Matt has a pee-pee. And then Brian kind of joked my brother and said, well, Uncle Matt has a pee-pee, kind of. Just making a joke. And so, no, it's like a joke that my brother and I do. It wasn't meant like a gay joke. He would say it normal.
No, I'm fine. I guess I just didn't know it would be in front of your father and his new wife.
Really? Really? That's surprising to you when you know my family?
Just, when the family has no boundaries, that's just another...
So Dylan then learned, he would say, Uncle Matt has a pee-pee,
kinda.
And so for some reason, our stepmother, Brenda, looked right at him and said, Dylan, y'all got to imagine, she's got fried, blonde, big hair, just teased up like 4 inches. And her eyelashes, bless her heart, look like spider legs. She has so much mascara on and she's tan as can be, laid out every day. Anyway, she looked right at Dylan. She said, Nuh-uh, Dylan, Uncle Matt has a super-duper big pee-pee, I bet. And that's where we all got uncomfortable.
Wow. Again, no boundaries. This should have been your first sign when you're talking about your stepkids' genitalia.
Y'all, this is the same stepmother who said, is that a new new phone.
When you came out and yeah. your father was starting to weep.
She didn't know what to say. Anyway.
Well, is that a new phone? Still, one of my favorite stories of all time because of the complete horror that's happening there and aww. Her thinking she was disarming it.
Yeah. Slightly. Anyway. But the fact that Danielle's going so, they're talking this, y'all, this is all, I don't know if we're going to go through, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm just kind of like rolling my eyes at all this baby stuff.
No, y'all, she doesn't want to have her baby. Let's be clear. This is how you know. Unless they just decide to film this in the DR, but if she was really concerned, she would have already gone to a fertility specialist.
That's what I think too. She lives in New York City.
I was thinking they just maybe wanted to film it for the show, but it feels faked for the show.
It does. It does feel faked for the show. And also too, it's kind of hard for me to watch. I know he doesn't mean to do this. I'm all about somebody having faith, but this whole thing of Johan, like we put it in God's hand. I'm like, you don't understand how that makes a woman feel like that something is even more wrong with them, that God can't fix their body.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with her.
I think she doesn't see it that way, but I think
fully she doesn't.
She is seeing it in the way of almost the irresponsibility. She uses it as a judgment on him, which I can kind of understand. She's like, how could someone not think they have to take any responsibility and let's just let God handle it, handle everything? And this is, y'all, and this is someone who puts their faith in nuts that fall on the floor and chains. She believes everything else. She's like, no, I need to do a little agency. My spiritual advisor can tell me, but I still have to do things.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So they go to the fertility clinic and sure enough, we check out and basically
she's got no fibroids and the uterus looks good, but she says the egg count is very low.
And she even brings up, and I think this is going to become an issue, where she says, I know Johan is really faithful, but it is funny. It made me laugh when she said, putting everything and just leaving it up to your faith is not taking your own responsibility. And I went, bitch. We just saw you in New York with that fucking, with your fucking, I don't know if it's called a priest or a healer
advisor,
or whatever.
A spiritual advisor.
You literally gave up all your responsibility to him to tell you, like, come on, girl. Come on.
It's slightly different because what she is doing is she's trying to stack the deck in her favor.
Yeah, that's true. That's
telling
true.
Her something. And so in a way, she is trying to help it out. What she's doing, though, like that, the whole quartz, rose quartz breaking, and what she's doing is she's already trying. She's using her faith in almost the opposite way. Instead of putting everything on, she's trying to see almost all the negative things that can happen and using her faith to justify it.
That is true. She goes always to the negative, and he's always like super positive, and they don't meet in the middle at all.
No. They do not, and y'all.
He is gorgeous, though.
Of course, he is. I'm 100% convinced she does not want this baby. She does not want to have another baby.
Yeah, I think she wants to be. Yeah,
yeah, and that's why she's talking about. If you notice this, you guys, the talk. Yes, IVF is a very expensive procedure, but the first thing she goes to is money. It's not like we can talk. We can have IVF. How can we make this happen? The first thing is the cost of preventative. Let's not even talk about it.
It's also because he does say like there's no – the doctor says they would have to have IVF and they would have to get a donor egg. Yeah. Like they can't – she doesn't even have an egg for them to use.
IVF with her. Yeah.
And so like the child would not be – like she can't have a child of her own like DNA.
Right.
And so I don't know if he got that.
She thinks he might – I don't know if he got it, but she thinks she might have a problem with.
And that potentially leave her, because he never does say he does never in this. He never says it's okay if we are unable. He says it will work out. We will have a baby. That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah, kind of I feel even though they're using a translator, I don't feel like this relationship is that deep and they're really understanding one another.
No, it's a completely sexual party boy relationship because remember, y'all, he's a fuck boy and that's well, what
he says he has feelings for her. So he I don't know if he's like full fuck boy status, but
that's probably true. I should back that up. No, definitely not like, I think like other people on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I think probably in a way, she wants to be, I'm backing that up because I think she wants to be a fuck girl more than he wants to be a fuck boy. And the reason I say that, meaning like she wants this, I think you're 100% right why she doesn't have this baby. It's at the end when she's crying and they're sitting on the bench and she looks up and says something like, I'm paraphrasing, but she says something like, this doesn't really feel like paradise.
Yeah, no.
And I went,
This is all kink that she had when she was there, and
she still wants it to be this paradise party. She doesn't want to have a kid. She just wants to live a life of going to beaches and traveling and probably taking cute Instagram photos with her really hot man and getting dicked down by his amazing penis. That's the size of the leg.
It rips her apart.
I'm telling you, I know a way that you can pay for this IVF, and it's called Fans of Only or OnlyFans. That's the way you get, he would make this in a month.
I do have to say, they went to the fertility clinic right after that he had plundered her vagina in such a way. And I was thinking that doctor's looking in there going, holy fuck, what happened in here?
Whoa, a little red. It's a little red in here. Something happened.
So we are using her words here.
Yeah.
She says he ripped her apart. So all I can think of is the doctor just pushing things aside.
Going, whoa, wow.
We had a really loud party in here.
That's, yeah. Wait, is that a base camp? Is that a base camp in that fallopian tube? What, are there people in there?
I was just thinking. This is like a trash hotel room.
Yeah.
Something went wrong here.
Whoa.
Is that a dead hooker?
Is that a syringe? Was Def Leppard in here?
That's exactly what she said. But she did it the day after.
It is. When she said the words, he tears me apart, I went, okay. Wow.
Now, anyway. It may have been done for effect, but damn. You know, damn. But they, from what I've heard, their vagina is very resilient, but maybe hers isn't, or that's, maybe she's just being colorful with her language. But the way she made it feel, it felt like a condemned house.
It did. It did. Condemned.
Oh.
Anyway.
I was just like thinking he's going to look at her just pushing away scaffolding.
Yeah, just like, yes. It looks like a place where, like, the Batman would beat up the Joker in there.
Yes.
All right. Shall we move on
to
ranch dressing?
I didn't have a lot about them. Let's move on to chicken fingers and ranch dressing and Daniel. Again, I did not like her on their first season. I grew to tolerate her halfway through, and I wound up liking her. Because I really do feel they love one another.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And it's not, and I don't feel that she's just like kidnapping Dick from Costa Rica. Like, I feel like some, like Danielle is trying to do. She's just trying to go down there and like, and rent a dick and bring him back with her to New York.
Yep.
And I believe they, now, do I believe she's hard to live with? That would be a yes.
Yes.
And she has plenty of that Florida USA entitlement, enough to go around. So
she does. I mean, the fact that, well, anyway, y'all, they met 3 years ago. They are already married. They got married on 90 Day Diaries, I think, if you wanted to watch it.
And they did it in a smart way because they didn't do 90 Day Fiancé. And they had a courthouse wedding quickly so they could get his work permit quicker, which is the more realistic way. But y'all, we wouldn't have a 90 Day Fiancé without it. Let's be honest.
We wouldn't. But I think it's delayed because maybe probably COVID. Of COVID, I guess. Yeah. but it's been now like 8 months now, which is a long time. It shouldn't take that long. It's been delayed 8 months now that he hasn't had work.
And she bought a house the weekend they got married. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. For some reason, I thought her job was something in like HR or personnel. I don't know why. Maybe that's just Amber. I thought she was a server.
But now she's a server at a restaurant. So I thought so too. I thought it was more of an administrative job. Maybe she quit her job to go down there.
Maybe we really never knew, but so she had savings, obviously, but unless you're at a really nice restaurant, you guys, they're trying to change this. You don't have full benefits as a server.
No.
You have to be especially in Florida, you have to have, it can be money, but you're not, a lot of times it's like, she'll be on Obamacare. Because they're not going to give you benefits.
No, and she's a saver. So, I mean, the house about it's a very cute, modest house. I will say, Daniel doesn't know how to paint. She is painting correctly, and Daniel says you need to paint up and down. That is not the way you paint. You paint in like a W. That's how you paint.
But you know what? At least it was nice to hear him say something instead of her saying, "Daniel, you're going to do it like this."
And like she's like, "Daniel got the pan on the floor." He's like, "Oh, you clean it. It's fine. You clean."
What's interesting is she said, at least she's been upfront about this. So there's a little bit more healthiness here. She's like, "Daniel's not working and I've become a little resentful that he's not. And it feels like it's on me to do everything." Mm-hmm. And so at least that's out in the open instead of not saying it like someone like Patrick from Patrick and Thais would say, "Well, spend all your money," just then like throwing it out there.
I don't think it's fraudacity, but I'm surprised that he's not working. Maybe it's because he is on the show, but if he works in construction, it is very easy to work in construction and get paid under the table.
That is true. Maybe they're worried about saying that and being on the show.
Oh, they wouldn't do it. But I wonder if they're doing that.
Oh, I see. He actually is working. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know a lot about that. I do know a lot of the people who work with my brother.
Maybe don't say that for your... Well, I'm editing that out of the show.
please don't report my brother. No, well, no. There is a history of people who are working undocumented for construction and jobs like that. Oh, you're gonna
Yes,
that's fine. I'll say it. Now we're back. But you're right, there is a history of people working in especially industries of construction and things like that who are undocumented and without work permits.
Yes,
is a history of that. So maybe he is, or maybe they didn't want to book the show. Maybe he just says, "I don't want to do it." You know,
maybe
until I get that. So I don't know. But maybe. You're right. It's so they also, y'all, her sister is living with them because she needs more money for the house.
She needs more money for the house.
And there are four cats.
This montage of Daniel saying, "Everywhere I go, there's a cat. When I try to sleep, there's a cat. There's a cat on my feet. There's a cat in my head." And I went, this is starting to sound like a Dr. Seuss poem here, the way he describes it. But
there was a cat on my head. There was a cat that needed to be fed. There was a cat that sat on my lap. There was a cat that had a pap smear.
that didn't work so well.
I really should have thought about lap.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Nap.
There was a cat that took a nap. I think pap smear is funnier, though. Does it?
I think so too. So
the caps, like I've named these: Minnie, Flossie, Golden, and Bob.
Bob. But he talks about there's literally no privacy, and she's getting ready to go eat, and Daniel says, "Can you sit here for 1 second?"
No, server. To work.
Yes, she's going to work. And he's like, "You sit." And he said, "So because I have this background in construction, can I make the room in the back? Can I turn that into a bathroom so we can have a big bathroom? They cut to all three of them in the bathroom and Daniel fucking asking for body wash.
Now, honestly, this is shades of Emily and those five adults living in one bathroom and with one bathroom.
Yeah. But
three people in a small house in one bathroom is also a lot.
But it is unrealistic for him to making over a bathroom besides a kitchen is the most expensive thing you can do.
It's very expensive. And y'all, it always costs more than you think. I think in general, he's thinking of as when he'd be hired by construction and things like that, they would pay him. He didn't think about the seed money that it took just to pay for that.
Yeah. And also, yeah.
He is still young. He is still young. I think he's 23, 24. Am I wrong?
He is very young. And they didn't say this in the episode, but we find out, I think, the reason she doesn't want him to redo the room is because that's where fucking her gay best friend's going to live. That he doesn't know about yet. Ashton.
Ashton, oh my God, I love working with you. I like how we make fun of all the customers. Yeah, God. We will have more to say about Ashton later.
We will.
So I wish, though, instead of telling him, you know, I pay all the money, Daniel. And like, so I make all the money. So it's like, doesn't matter what we need to do. And it's like, that's not really important for me right now. It is the way she says it. And I know, y'all, we've known Amber. She gets very stressed. And it usually comes out as anger or being fed up with something. Mm-hmm. It's easy to take something like her anger, which it's really not about him at all. It's about how stressed she is about money. Which is,
yeah.
She is wound tighter than Dick's hat band.
She is. And this is where she first says in her testimonial, like, well, when he makes money, that's when he can have an opinion and say and things. And I went,
that sounds gross.
That's gross American entitlement bullshit, especially when you're the one that she talks about. Like, I paid all this money to have you come over here and do this. I'm like, yeah. And y'all chose to do that together. But he can't actually. He can't even work.
It's very podhasty to talk like that.
It's very podhasty, but it's also kind of what you said, like with Kara and Guillermo. Like, give him something. Give him something. To me, I think how great that I have a partner that wants to do something and just doesn't want to sit here and play video games all day. He wants to work on something. He wants to better our lives.
And can you imagine if Libby did something like that with Andre when he couldn't work? It's like, you don't get an opinion. Can you imagine?
Oh, can you know?
Yeah. But I'm just saying that kind of, we've seen that before, but never as direct. And so I understand why there's going to be a lot of hate coming for Amber on this. Yeah. I just thought it was just an extension of what she's done before. I think she's a well-meaning person. That's just fucking gross American entitlement. It just is. Call it out when we see it.
Speaking of, let's go line dancing, everybody.
Oh my God. Let's call up Monica and Ashton and Courtney and Jay. They're all my friends.
Yes. So they all go line dancing.
Daniel says, like, your friends are a mess.
He's like, they're a mess. And when you're with them, you get messy. You're drinking. He's like, I don't like this.
He also thought that was just Amber on vacation. And he realized, no, that's Amber every Saturday at Billy Bob's.
Yep.
Or wherever mm-hmm. they go.
Yeah.
Or at Dallas mm-hmm. Bulls or
Arbuckle Ballroom. Arbuckle Ballroom. That was ours.
That is not a, they need to find more names than Arbuckle.
Well, it closed now, but that's the, you know.
I don't care.
There's not any line dancing really anymore.
So I like it when he's like, let's do this. And so they're line dancing and they're doing, of course, it's shots time. And he's like saying, Amber, don't get too drunk. And their gay friend is there. And I'm like, as soon as we see the guy at the table and he's got dark eyelashes and good skin, I'm like, oh, that's their gay friend. It's that obvious.
That's their gay. And so...
You would see a straight guy who looked like that here in Los Angeles, y'all, not in Seminole, Florida.
Not in Seminole, Florida.
That is a gay guy who like sticks out like a sequined thumb.
Is it Seminole or Sarasota? I thought they're in Sarasota.
Seminole.
Oh, they're in Seminole.
Seminole, Florida. I don't know where that is, but
I guess it's going to be up.
I don't know.
On Florida.
They keep showing beach pictures, so it's got to be there, right? What if it's just an inland shithole? Look it up, please. We really do rag on Florida a lot on this show.
You can't say gay in Florida. I think we can rag That's on true. Them right now. Yes.
I'll let you. I'm going to talk while you find Seminole, where Seminole is.
Seminole, Florida is, let's see.
That's the FSU mascot and the Indian tribe.
Oh, it's so you know how there's Tampa, and then you know how there's like, there's Tampa's in like a bay because there's like a little peninsula that shoots out where St. Petersburg is.
Yep.
So, in Clearwater,
it's nowhere near that.
not at all. It's on the other side of Florida. No, I'm kidding. That's where Seminole is. It looks like.
Oh, so it's close to it.
That's what it looks. Yeah, that's where it is. It's close to all that. So that's why it's always close to the. Wow, they could run into. They could run into Natalie.
Libby and Andre. Oh, it's near St. Pete's.
Yeah, because is it Libby and Andre in Clearwater?
No, Clearwater. No, Libby and Andre are in. They're in Tampa.
They're all right there. What a little pocket of goodness of 90 day.
And Natalie's in St. Petersburg.
And Courtney is from that area too, isn't she?
Courtney's in Orlando now.
Oh. The city where dreams are made of.
That show needs to come back. I can't believe I said that. Except
it does not right now.
Except not without, but without the identical Pang twins Pang. Who married each other and without Pang Pang. I'm fine with anybody else.
No, we don't have any time for more shows.
No more blonde twins with the other twins who I think they have a suicide pact if one ever leaves them.
We do.
So y'all, they're talking. They're
she's trying to get Daniel to dance. He doesn't want to dance. Like, she's like, please.
We're going to do partner. We're going to dance. I want to be like partner salsa and bachata, sexual dancing. And not just like doing boot scoot boogie on a line dance.
Which I would say
very, very, very country Western American.
Well, I want to say that is the reason why they made this dance. So that way men and women wouldn't be dancing and holding one. That's one of the reasons why I think all this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's all about the puritanical nature of America.
A lot of it is, let's just have fun. Everybody, there's nobody touching anybody. We can do this at church lock-ins. It'll be great.
Doesn't sound fun at all. I want to be grinding up on people.
I'm telling you right now, line dancing was invented by Baptists. I know it was. You can't tell me otherwise.
I never enjoyed it because I wasn't able to like grind up on someone or put my hands on their body.
Yeah, you're kind of like Daniel. You're sexual when you dance.
So, y'all, we do meet Ashton, her gay friend.
Who she calls her best friend. He's her best friend.
Right. And they work together serving. So y'all, if you've ever worked serving, if you're a woman and you've ever worked serving with a gay guy, they're the meanest motherfucker in the world because that was me as a server.
They're the meanest. But the fact that Amber is friends with him, y'all, solidifies even more. Amber is our people, and I think
Amber's
she's a dick
sissy, y'all.
She's a sissy, and she's a dick pig, and she's going to have to do a lot for me to not like her.
I think it is. Her entitlement really bothers me, but there's something about her that is endearing to me that makes it okay. I feel like we're being sold a storyline that I think we're seeing the worst of her here. Because we saw the worst of her at the beginning, and near the end, she was trying to, y'all, never forget that scene in the car where he's falling asleep. He's like, Daniel, you need to answer these questions!
Yeah.
We did a meeting thing about it. What is my favorite chicken finger sauce? Daniel, so good. When was I born? Who's my friend? What's my mother's name?
It was so good.
Oh, she was great fodder.
Great fodder.
I think we've talked to her a couple times on Instagram, and y'all, she gets the joke. She gets she's a blonde woman from Florida. She gets it.
She gets that.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was going to happen so early, but y'all, she's back. I think it's time for our first. This is our first Love in Paradise.
Lip theater.
We're not going to service. Lip service. We're not going to sing because we're remote. But go. I'm in Oklahoma. He's in LA.
It doesn't sync up, and it bothers me.
It bothers Poodle. All right, Poodle's going to be playing role of Amber because we believe he played Amber last time. So we like to be that's one of the only things we're consistent on.
Hallmark of reality games. Yeah.
That, you know what? People are going to be like, actually, it was Maddie last time. And we're going to be like, sorry.
We don't remember. We don't remember.
I feel 95% sure it was you. So I believe.
I'm drawn to usually entitled naggy women. Yeah. So.
Poodle will be playing Amber, and I'll be playing Ashton. So,
yes.
And sing.
Woohoo! I'm having such a good time. I love being out with all my friends, and that includes you, girl.
Oh, you too, girl.
So gonna be out of Charlie's.
Amber, let's just stop doing shots and come over here, Amber, and let's talk. Amber,
no.
Amber, you're gonna smudge your eyeliner I put on. Come over here and sit.
Oh my god, you're so good at that. I love you. Can we make out later? You. It's okay that I have a friend.
Now. Remember, that's one of the reasons why I got divorced.
Oh,
so we can't do that anymore.
Kisser. And you have a husband.
You have a husband now, Amber. Look what happened. Exactly. That's what, by the way, girl, thank you for letting me move in with you into your house. I appreciate that so much.
About that.
Yeah. Did you tell Daniel yet? We talked about that, Amber.
Not yet. Did you tell? I haven't told him yet.
We're fighting,
and like I feel like he has no say because I make all the money. So it's like, what is he gonna do?
So in my head, I'm screaming right now, but I'm gonna be nice and say, while I can see the validity at that point. Girl, remember I got divorced because I didn't tell my husband shit, girl. Remember? Yeah,
that's true. Like when you were like, that's kind of like, and you were okay with like hiding like 4 kilos of cocaine in the storage room of O'Charlie's. First of all,
I don't like to talk about me being in O'Charlie's ever because I feel, because you know it makes me bloated, but it's so good. God, I love those cheese sticks.
I never went to the soup. Oh my God.
Yes, but
our burgers this is are still what the best.
But you don't talk. You don't talk to someone. Soon you're just going. You're going through the motions, and the next thing you know, you're dating a manager of Wet Seal and wondering why you're divorced. So Amber, listen to me. Listen to me. You've got to talk to Daniel.
I love their leggings, though.
They are so cute.
I miss Robert's discount.
Oh God. Robert, such a nice dick. But girl, anyway. I love you. Please tell him, please. Here's the thing.
You're going to give me $500 more a month. So like he has no absolute say in the matter because he doesn't pay any rent. He doesn't do anything. So I make all the decisions. Got it? I make the decisions. Woo! There's a bull over there. Let's ride the bull.
And scene.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find you're happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies,
love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed, have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Oh, Ashton, y'all. I don't know where they work, but let me tell you one thing. The conversations they have about customers are awful. Oh,
they talk about customers. And but I, what is funny to me is that, like, he really is like, bitch, I'm trying to keep it real with you. Oh, and she is not hearing
it. He's basically insinuating that his marriage broke apart because of communication
issues. Because of lies.
Y'all, I guarantee you, one of them thought the marriage was open.
yep. That usually is what it is.
Trust me, I've been there. Not in an open marriage, but the open one. The third.
The third.
And then I found out, wait, the other person thought it was a close marriage.
Oh.
When you get that knock on your door at 3 a.m. Sebastian, you're in there with that whore.
It's never happened to me, but, you know, I think about things a little.
And y'all, they're just, at the end, she's riding a mechanical bull like a woohoo girl and spill her drink everywhere.
Yeah. I'll tell him tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. Let's talk about Ariana and Sherlon, shall we?
Do we have to? By the way, did you catch the two friends' names? I completely wasn't looking up.
Yes, there's Corbin and Paige. And Corbin and Paige.
Shut up. Her name is you. It sounds like you just made up those names.
No, they're Corbin and Paige. And Corbin and.
Of course they are.
Because they're all wearing.
Corbin and Paige.
They're wearing way too much makeup in a daytime look.
It's
all three of them.
And like, this is 11:30. They're still doing brunch.
Yeah. So Ariana goes and meets her friends, and she's like, she sits down and she's like, well, I'm about to leave for Jamaica. And they're basically, y'all, they can see that this isn't where, again, everyone sees but Ariana.
Okay. I have been saying since this season began, three episodes, Ariana has no friends, or why will her friends not level with her? Y'all, these aren't good friends because they're not actually leveling with her. They're asking her questions.
Well,
maybe Ariana isn't that friend who would ever listen. Maybe she'd get mad at one of them.
I think that's it. I think she's – because think about the way she acts with Sherlon. He basically has told her, and she doesn't take – I think actually it's not that they're bad friends. I think they're trying to be nice friends because they gave her – they said things like to her like, girl, that's a big red flag. So they're trying to give her warning. Yeah, and they're trying to be – they try to say things like, you know, because – this something that happens, which is this is why. So last people commented on our Patreon, they're like, I don't think Sherlon's a fuckboy. And I went, no, Sherlon is a fuckboy because, and we knew it, I don't think he's gonna and I do worry about Ariana weaponizing the kid against him.
100%.
At the same time, I don't think Sherlon's going to do anything to try to make an effort to be a father in his son's life. I just don't. And she brings up, he hasn't even filed the paperwork to put his name on the fucking birth certificate. Y'all, that's not a complicated thing to do. You fill out a piece of paper. You take it to a courthouse or you get it notarized. You sign it in front of someone. You send it to her. That's it. He has to do the least amount of work.
Now, this is a huge red flag, you guys. If that's...
Yeah.
Now, the fact that she has... allowed this, or that she has did not put a boundary and say until you file the paperwork, I'm not coming. Then the fact that that was not a boundary set by her is very telling. That it's all codependent shit now. It's just she's gonna force him into being in a relationship with him to be in a relationship with her. Now, the friends do
because
say
also that, I just want to say this, because guess what happens too if he files the paperwork and puts his name on the birth certificate? Child support, and it'll probably be easier for him to get back and to get into the US.
Yeah.
And she wants that, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go to the U.S.
Y'all, look at Daniel. He wants to... This guy works at a fucking swingers club in Jamaica. He wants to live the life of luxury. Sherline doesn't want to be Daniel.
Oh, I see.
Fucking mowing the lawn in Florida or wherever they live in Quincy, Seminole. Illinois.
Oh, he does. I see. I'm confused.
I was making the comparison. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So they are... And at one point she says, she's like, on my end, she's like, I think I'm an exclusive relationship with Sherlon. What has given you that? That's something you made up in your head, honey.
And unless
he's never said that. I feel like
that we would have heard him say that if that was on. And we have not seen that at all.
He is such a good talker. He'll say things like, we need to work on our love.
He's avoidant. He's very distant. Avoidant.
Yeah. We've grown distant and we need to work on our relationship.
Because he talks like a boy and it's avoidant.
And y'all, when the friends hear, she's like, but he also works at a swingers resort. And the blonde friend at that point, one point, you can actually see her face kind of crack.
You see Corbin going, oh God, Ariana, what the fuck?
Y'all, when Ariana left, because of course she had to go take care of her kid from her mom, these two friends stayed and talked about how fucked she was.
They were like, oh my God.
They ordered three more mimosas and got day drunk.
They date. And then she tells him a story about how he left his phone. He butt dialed her and she heard him talking with another woman and laughing and giggling and singing. And then when she called him back later,
He lied about it. It's just like the problem here is I would love to put all the blame on Sherlon, but I don't think that's what's happening. She just can't see the truth. And yes, he might be lying to her in one way or another, but come on, honey. Wake up.
I think it's shared pretty equally. I think he is a very, like you said, a smooth talker, and he doesn't want to be the bad guy. So he always wants to make her feel like so he is leading her on, but he's also giving her so many signals to say, I'm not interested.
And because he'll never break up with her.
No, it is sad to me that probably Ariana, I bet she wouldn't behave this way if they didn't have a baby. She'd be like, fuck this guy.
She would not. I agree with you.
And it is sad that she probably is just telling herself, if there's any chance I can make this work for my child's father, I'm going to do whatever I can. And that breaks my heart.
And let me tell you, I'm going to take issue with what you just said. I think it is much less about making sure Sherlon sees his kid instead of we're going to be a family.
I agree with that.
I think what you're saying and what you're saying and what I'm saying is very different.
I agree. Actually, I agree with that because it does. When you say that, that's true. She does kind of almost use, you know, we worry about her weaponizing the kid to keep Sherlon from him, but she also kind of weaponizes the kid as the way why they need to be in a relationship.
Yes.
Really.
This is what she conflates. We've been saying this since last season. She's conflating the fact that they have a child together, that A, they should be together in a romantic relationship, number one. That's the first thing. B, they should be a family that is together and a family that is in the same place, perhaps, that they need to work on their relationship. None of these two things he wants.
No.
And he just won't say it. The other thing I think we have not, I think he probably does say this to her, but we don't hear any time they FaceTime when they, and maybe the show edits this. We don't hear anything from him about so glad to talk to you, so glad to see you.
No.
So either she's making it all up in her head.
Even
or
when
they're not
she
airing.
Shows up. Yeah, they're not. Oh, but I don't think that's
that was brutal.
Even when she shows up in Jamaica, he never even hugs her.
He doesn't even hug her. He takes the kid and the kid cries because it's a stranger. But it's so funny. She says, and that's when he said, this is love at first sight. This is the best day of my life. He's like, it's
me?
All
me?
About
Are you talking
Odin.
About me? Oh.
But yeah, he doesn't even hug her, y'all.
No.
And in the car, he says, in the car, she's like, and on this trip, Sherlon's going to change all the diapers and he's going to do all the daddy things. And I'm like, boy, that's just, if that's not a panty dropper for him, I don't know what is.
Yeah. To get him in.
What is her goal with this? Is that to make him enjoy? Is she trying to kind of get back at him for not being there?
It's like she wants this instant Ozzy and Harriet. It makes no sense.
Or saying, you're going to get a taste of your own men. You're going to learn how to be a father because that's going to make him say, oh, I think I like this.
Yeah. Why did I say Ozzy and Harriet? That's the most dated reference ever.
It's normal for you. I've never seen that show.
What? Oh, I love that show. I had such a crush on Ricky Nelson. Oh.
I have a feeling that was on Nick at Night. I never watched Nick at Night.
Ricky and David Nelson. Talk about a pair of hot brothers. Oh.
Let's not talk about Nelson incest, please.
Well, no. And now, you know, I wonder what Nelson the band's up to, the twins.
I think nothing's been heard of them for a while. I'm sure someone can tell us.
Oh, so sad.
After the rain, that was Nelson's.
Yeah.
After the rain. Yeah.
And then also Love and Affection.
That was them too.
I can't live without your
love and affection. Yeah, that was them too.
We just had someone go, oh my God, I'm the biggest Nelson fan ever.
And I just go, I don't care what they are.
Okay.
Shall we talk about Two Top Time? Is it Two Top Time? That sounds okay. Like I'm working a restaurant again. Is that Two Top available?
So two tops walk into a bar. Yeah, it's some.
We found plenty of things to do.
Okay. I have a theory.
I also have a theory. Let's hear yours first. They woke up together.
I think Matt Sharp is a dick pig. Because we've heard about Danielle talking about Johan's big, huge dick. And now we hear about Valentine and Carlos. Literally, the conversation is how big their dicks are.
I think Matt Sharp is a ratings pig. And he knows that dicks are ratings.
You know what I think? I think Matt Sharp has listened to our show and seen how big, seeing that we have all of his listeners and they're dick pigs. And he says, Miranda, I've been listening to this podcast. It's popular. We got to put more dicks in the show, Miranda.
Dick pig market. Oh, we're going to break this wide open, Miranda. Give me. He's like an old man smoking a stogie.
Yeah.
Just eating a bowl of sauerkraut.
But Miranda, what do you think about a story with two tops? And there's a lot of, and they just keep saying the word penetration.
Penetration over and over again.
What's your theory?
I was talking about what they did sexually. So they said, and he said this later too, you're a good lover, I'll give you that. We got, and you're a big dick, and it's thicker than I thought. All these things we all knew. He has a thick dick. They both have big dicks.
Yeah. So
they said, we had lots of things to keep us occupied. My first thought was, y'all, one of them fucked the other's armpit or underneath their knee or something. Because
oh, yeah, you can do that.
You can, or like fucked in between their feet. That was my thought. I went to all the ways they could fuck something without fucking each other.
Because we've all been fucked those ways. I can't tell you. And it's usually been for me. I don't, because he mentions feet.
People have fucked my armpit before.
And I don't know. I've been with many men who like my feet and have fucked my feet.
Yeah.
I can't. If I had a nickel for every time I had semen on my toes, y'all, I wouldn't be show.
I've had that happen. I'm not really into it. I just let them kind of do it. But
I'm not either.
I'm not going to applaud and Meryl Streep over that like I do about some things.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, they're having a good time. So
exactly. But I do want to say, and Carlos says, I'm satisfied. Valentine says,
I'm not.
This is interesting. And this I brought this up and I want to revisit it and see what you think now. About different love. And
no, I agreed with you then. I think it's even more apparent.
I thought you weren't convinced. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I said, I think I remember you saying, like, I think, yeah, his is very emotional and something to prove. Remember, because I said, yes, because, like, he wants to use Valentine to come out to his family. It's such a personal, emotional thing to him. And Valentine, it just seems so sexual and non-emotional.
Yeah.
I agree with
that. I'm sorry. I thought we were differing on that. Maybe not. Because I think
you're just used to me not agreeing, and it's rare that we both are like, I'm like, yeah.
No, I think with this and I think it's even harder now because Valentine, this is the exact words. I want to make sure I wrote this down because you can see where he's going. I'm thinking about a lot of the things that we can do and the possibilities.
Yes.
So, y'all, I want to make sure our terms are clear. Valentine says he is polyamorous, which means, just to be very clear, this means you think it is possible to love more than one person, and you can be in a relationship in polyamorous and amor love. So you can love in a three or foursome, there is a loving relationship between all these people. An open relationship is not that. An open relationship is specifically defined as a relationship that is between two people, and they are not mutually exclusively sexual with each other.
Yes. And now there can be an open relationship. I forgot what it's called. It's called
It can be both.
Now there can be, mono-poly relationships where one person is monogamous and another person is poly. So, however...
So you mean that one person will... I think that's poly... Oh, I see what you're saying.
I know for sure. Yeah, I have a friend who is in the one. And so they're in a... Like, they are mono, meaning they just want to be with their person, their partner, but their partner identifies as poly. So they're not with other people, but their partner is.
And when you say poly, you mean polyamorous when the love is accepting. So in other words, does that poly person able to confess their feelings of love for the person that they're with?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, boy, if I was Mont, I would not be able to do that. I'm telling you right now.
No, but I only bring that up because an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship, both people in the relationship don't have to be poly, or both people don't have to
totally
be open.
Agree.
There can be, but I bring that up because, like you said, Carlos is not going to be able to do that.
No, absolutely not. No. I want to specify, this is the feeling, polyamory means having feelings. There's a very big difference between having feelings with someone than just having sexual encounters. I know that's strange for people.
And polyamory, usually you have a relationship with someone. Yeah. So it's like someone you go to dinner with, you might go on vacations with. Well,
however you express love.
But it is the way he does talk. He's like, we could do all these things. And that's when he says, you got a big dick. I got a big dick. We got a lot of love.
And to me, he is, maybe I'm wrong here. He is only conflating sex with adding another person in.
He says poly, so I'm going to believe his words, but the way he talks about it sounds like an open relationship.
Yes, that's what it keeps. It makes me, I would want to ask him what he thinks polyamory is and get into, in other words, if he has what, and you can define your relationship any way, but I feel like Carlos would be more open to an open relationship than a polyamorous one where there are feelings involved.
Because often too, someone who's polyamorous could maybe they're with their couple A, but then maybe they're with one other person, but it doesn't mean that they're having sex with a bunch of people. It means they're only
That's
in
very
relationship.
An open relationship. An open relationship is a catch-all term for anything where two people are not completely monogamous and it's agreed upon from the both of them.
I think the whole point of this, it kind of doesn't matter what we're saying because it's all about what rules you make for yourselves as a couple and make sure that your values and your rules are in an agreement. And that's what we're saying is there's not any values or agreement in this relationship.
No. And I just don't even think their terms are clear.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's not going to go good.
And what I'm hearing is every time Valentine talks about it, it is in terms of sexuality.
Yeah.
And what he needs to, he even said, we need to find a bottom who is primarily that.
Yeah.
And that's the first parameter. Now, what is interesting, and I wrote this down, we're going to go back. Valentine is already talking about polyamory when they've met for the first time, the next, for the dinner. And maybe I'm old school. Work on your own relationship first.
I will speak from a therapeutic perspective and doing like couples counseling and all that and having a lot of friends that the friends that are successful in open or poly relationships are the friends who talk about it for a long time. They're the friends that go to couples therapy. They're the friends that their relationship is in a pretty good space before, or at least a strong, even if their relationship is a little rocky, they have some history and trust between one another to navigate uncomfortable feelings. They just met for the first time.
Yeah. You guys, this is why it feels all sexual to me.
Yeah.
He's already bringing it up and says, we just need to find a bottom and throw around. That's an open relationship. I don't know why we're parsing this.
They don't have any trust.
And it can, exactly. And there's no, that's a polyamory has to be built on trust if it's going to work. And there is no trust here. Carlos has been adamant, I assume over the 2 years that they've been speaking on the phone, that Carlos has been adamant that polyamory isn't for me. And Valentine is basically trying to teach him all the ways it is for him.
Yeah.
And I just, it just tells me this is just going to be a massive failure. And because emotions are going to get involved, Carlos is going to get very, very upset. And like I think you said before that you think they could be friends. I don't think that can ever happen. This is going to be a blow up.
Seeing it more now. Carlos asked him, like, how did you discover polyamory? And Valentine says, well, he was in love with his ex, but then he was also in love with someone else. And Carlos, he basically said, like, he doesn't understand because he still says, like, do you do this because you want to play around with other people? He said, because for me, you're with me and no one else. And it's also, and we're going to see this next episode, it also is dealing with, I'm not saying that people that can't be in a poly or open relationship are dealing with shame. So I don't want to equivocate that. But I am saying Carlos is really trying to, I think, fit himself into that binary, heterosexual binary, because he is so uncomfortable still with being gay. And I can relate to that. We all do that a lot. And we're going to see that next week when I think the value issue of Valentine literally dancing and prancing around on stage with his shirt off and at a gay club. And I'm interested to see next week if Carlos is right saying you can't do that here because people are going to judge you and look at you, or if Carlos is in his head about it and nobody cares if Valentine takes his shirt off.
That is true.
I'm interested to see.
The way the promo made it look is that Carlos was talking about it being a safety issue.
Yes, but I'm wondering if I've been with people who aren't fully out. Like, it's hard for them to be out themselves. And when you're in even a gay space, they still feel uncomfortable. And if it's that, then I think that's going to be another roadblock in that Valentine is not going to want to be with someone he has to handhold to come out.
I agree.
No way.
But I think my big thing here is these people have been talking for 2 fucking years.
I know, but it's as if they... But it's as if they don't know each other, isn't it?
That is exactly what I think.
You, they just fucking FaceTime and fuck and like get off.
And that is why, but I think they may talk a little bit, but Carlos has made up all the romantic stuff in his head. Valentine, I don't think... I'm not trying to disparage anyone's idea of love, but I don't see this coming as deep from Valentine. I just don't.
No, it just feels, I think polyamory can be fine. People can, that can be a great, meaningful relationship. But again, it's, they just don't. And again, it's like they just hooked up for the first time and met on an app, and now they're in the room with each other the next day, learning about one another. Made no sense.
I do want to talk about one thing where this is the classic 90-day scene where someone tries something of the culture, and they either hate it or the American's afraid to do it. And Valentine, they're going to try these like fish eggs, but it's actually a fish egg sack. He's like, this is important to me because I grew up in a fishing town. And he's like, I'm not an adventurous eater. It tastes like chicken gizzards. At least he ate it and didn't pull a Larry.
No.
And didn't spit it out. So he ate it.
It was funny. He was like, He made a joke. He's like, if I could put sauce on it, I'll be like, that was funny.
That was a better way to handle it. This is so interesting. I think this is a great conversation to be had about open relationships, polyamory, and especially in the LGBT community, especially with gay men, because there's we know a lot of people who are in. It's joked about in San Francisco that every relationship is open, or the polyamory, or in Los Angeles too. But when some straight people hear about this, they're like, what? And like, then the other person knows, or like, you're in a throuple? Yeah, it's a thing.
A throuple is different than a polyamorous, but there's a whole, and some of these relationships work out really, this is not the best representation of that, y'all, because for
it
some
is
people
not.
It really
works. That's what I'm
for
worried
some
about.
People it works. Yeah, for some people it works. So, but as always, 90 Day Fiancé doesn't really pick the first people to kind of break open a door to be the best representatives.
See footnote Erica and Stephanie.
Yeah, but they're good TV. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got too.
God, I love Lip. God, I love Lip. God, I love Lip. So good.
Lip service.
All right, I'm going to get in my cousin's massage chair and take the day off in Oklahoma, and then go into 100 degree heat. But y'all, thank you so much for listening. If you're new,
thanks for seeing us on the live tour, on the live show.
Yes, come see us. Still go to our Linktree link. And if you're new to the Patreon or Supercast because you got sucked into Love in Paradise, welcome. You can also get our class list or our old season. Right now we're doing season 5 of 90 Day Fiancé. So you can listen to that on the Patreon as well.
We just watched the Owl episode with Luis and Molly.
You can, so good. You can also listen to any of our binges, our Netflix binges. So Love is Blind, Unclassified. What was that one called?
Ultimatum.
I knew it started with the U.
So anyway, what's wrong with your brain? We need to charge it. Like
I need
phone.
To get a massage in my cousin's massage chair. All right, everybody. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you have a significant other who tears your vagina apart, call
us.
And then I think she could have found a way to say that better.
And then he can call me.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.